Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
And Dr. Lana Love, welcome to our show. Today we're going to be talking about animal rescue and animal advocacy. It's a topic that's very close to our heart. Both of us are vegan and both of us care very deeply about animals and animal welfare.
That's right. Yeah, this is a topic that animal advocacy that we don't often talk about. And I think we need to certainly talk about it at some point, discuss, because it is very close to our hearts, and it's certainly part of Universal Soul Love, because we believe in one consciousness and oneness, and all things are considered by me to have consciousness and mysticism, and so all living beings are part of us, and we affect every part of everything in the world, I guess.
And we certainly believe that humans are no better than animals, and animals are very much our equals.
That's right.
So it is an important topic in the scope of Universal Soul Love.
All beings have natural rights, and they have the right to freedom, and they have the right of movement, and they have the right to life, and the right to be free from harm, and they have the right to be respected. And we depend on each other. We depend on everything in the world, everything that's physical and even things that are non-physical, and we're not always aware of these things. We're not always aware of how our behavior affects everything else around us. So it's really important to raise our awareness and learn to be responsible.
So we have a special guest with us today from Armidale in Australia, Anna Cunningham. And Anna is involved in, Anna is a remedial therapist, but she has also been involved with animal rescuing and helping them for many years, and she has been associated with Northwest Equine Rescue. So here to tell us all about it is Anna. Anna, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Lana. Thank you so much, David, and hello to everybody who's listening.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Anna. So I just want to say, Anna, we met you in Armidale a couple of weeks ago, just by accident, at a coffee shop. We just started, you came up to us and we started talking, and we went over to see a number of your horses that you personally take care of, that you pay for every week. I think you have about 25 of them, and that you're just paying for them right out of your own pocket, which we were really amazed
with. It's amazing.
Yeah, we saw a lot of amazing horses, and they were a lot of fun.
So we're wondering whether you could perhaps start off just telling us a little bit about Northwest Equine Rescue and the whole area of helping horses.
Yeah, your background and experience.
Well, Northwest Equine Rescue was established by a woman called Tiana Milanovic, and she rescued a racehorse. I think the racehorse was very thin, and she found him in a sow, and then she restored him, and then she wanted to help other horses, and so she established Northwest Equine Rescue, and it's all run by Facebook, but she goes to sales and she buys horses, because in Australia it's really horrifying, but many horses are killed every week for pet food, and even some for human consumption for the export market. That's what I've been told. And examples of horses who are sent to abattoirs and killed are race horses, and perhaps the race horse hasn't performed strongly enough to win races. Perhaps the horse has broken down. At the moment, I'm looking after a racehorse. He's only 4 years old. He was bought at the Magic Millions sales on the Gold Coast in Queensland. He's only raced four times, and he hasn't done very well. But in his last race in January, he fractured his sesamoid bone, and so he was going to be sent to an abattoir, but somehow Tiana heard about him, and she phoned me and said that he needs to be stabled for a year. Well, he can't be allowed in a paddock, because the danger is he may want to gallop, and then he may refracture his bones. Mm-hmm. And so I thought I was full. I was looking after enough horses, and then I thought, well, one more. And anyway, mm-hmm. When the truck brought in this beautiful black horse, was let off the truck, and he had a little white star, and the truck driver said to me, this horse is bomb-proof. How could you possibly send him to an abattoir? And I've been caring for him, and he's just absolutely such a beautiful horse. And other examples of horses that are killed are horses in the harness industry, and also horses that encounter problems because some of the methods for working with horses and training horses can be quite harsh, and sometimes this can be very frightening for a horse, and then the horse becomes very anxious, and then people will often label this horse as a bad horse and a pushy horse, whereas the horse is quite an anxious horse. And sometimes children have ponies when they're little, and the children grow up, and then the ponies become old, and then nobody wants the ponies. And I think there are more horses than there are people that want horses. And also, we have a very dry continent here, and when there are droughts, sometimes people can't afford to feed their horses, and then they're sent to sows, and people, there are guys that are known as doggers because the horses are processed for dog food. But that's
unbelievable. Yeah, the scope of the problem is huge. Somehow, you know, in animal welfare, we focus on pets as well as, I guess, cows and pigs, and we're well aware of the fact, you know, that cows and pigs are very intelligent and they're treated very inhumanely, and we eat them. But horses, I guess I didn't realize that they were used for pets food and for human consumption.
No, I mean, I'd heard that, but I guess it's a living thing, a living being, and I guess we tend to look at things in terms of intelligence, and that's really how things sort of behave with us, like cats and dogs. We tend to favor dogs or dolphins or beings, living things, living creatures that tend to interact with us and that we can see more, they relate to us and whatever. I think all living intelligence has very little to do with the fact that a living thing is alive and that we need to treat it with respect and not harm things.
I'm so sad to hear of how much suffering horses go through, and so inspired by your work.
Yeah.
Anna, tell us about your background and how you got into this. I believe you were doing remedial massage before?
Yes. Well, actually, I grew up on a property, and I have very clear memories. I learned to ride a horse when I was three, but before I was three, I have really clear memories of sitting on a cushion that my father attached to his saddle, and my father took me riding, and he picked me blackberries to eat and eucalypt gum leaves for me to suck. And so I have been around horses for quite a long time, and over 50 years and almost 60 years. And I spent my childhood on a property with horses, and when my grandfather stopped riding, he gave me his horse Tinkerbell, and I absolutely loved her, and I made her a bitless bridle, and once I made her a bitless bridle, she stopped bolting, and bolting means a horse just wants to run, and it's very hard to stop. And so I was with horses till I was about 26, and then I lived in Sydney, and I lived in Western Australia, and then I did remedial massage therapy for about 20 years, and then my father became terminally ill, and I came to Armidale to care for him, and he passed away, and I stayed to care for my elderly mother who had Alzheimer's. And out of the blue, I had the thought I'd really like to help retired racehorses when my mother passed away. And then I went to the saddlery shop, and I happened to meet a woman who is the wife of a jockey, and she had just rescued some racehorses. I think that the owners had run out of money, and the horses were in very bad condition. And then I went to the local show, and I saw a cute little pony that was being for sale. It was had been used for pony rides, and I thought, I would love to buy this pony. But then I thought the pony may be lonely at my mother's, and so then I drove past the showground after the show, and I thought I saw the pony, but I went to see if it was the pony, and the caretaker said that it wasn't the pony, and I said, never mind, I'd like to help a racehorse later on. And as fate would have it, the caretaker had a racehorse, and she needed a home for this racehorse because she was moving to Queensland, and she was concerned it would be too hot for the horse, and there wasn't enough space. And so I bought Prince of the Park, and his grandfather and father had been very good Sydney racehorses. His mother had some black stake winners in America. But Prince hadn't done really well. He'd come first and second a couple of times. And anyway, so where he was adjusted, I looked after Prince. And then Northwest Horse Rescue turned up with horses in the next door paddock. And that's how I became associated with Northwest Horse Rescue, and a mare that had been used in rodeos for bucking, she chose me, and she just kept staring at me. And then Northwest Horse Rescue offered Ruby for me for only $50. And meanwhile, where Prince was registered, there was a Brumby. There were two Brumbies, and anyway, I just had a feeling maybe this Brumby Banks here, she was for sale, might go to a very good place, and I didn't realize that she actually bucked. And so I thought Ruby would be a perfect companion for Banks here, and Banks here and Ruby get on extremely well.
So how many horses do you have in total? I forget what you told us before.
I look after 26 horses in total. I have adopted some of the horses, such as Ruby, from Northwest Equine Rescue.
Right. And these are horses that you just pay for yourself weekly. You feed them. You do all the work yourself for all of these horses, right?
Yes.
And that must be a tremendous amount of work. That's so selfless of you to just pay for that and do all of this. And so this isn't really an official rescue. This is just your personal endeavor to try to ease the pain and suffering of these animals who have been injured or abandoned by people in the racing industry or private individuals who just no longer want the horses, or the horses have been abused. And that's what I mean by we should do no harm. We should not be doing any kind of unnecessary pain and suffering to any living creature. We need to be a little more empathic, I think, most of us.
So it's so beautiful of you to care for these animals. They are your family, aren't they?
Right.
Your equine family.
Yes, they are. I just find that I really love these horses, and I find that I am able to establish a connection with the horses so that the horses feel quite calm around me. And I think,
Anna, would you say that you are a horse whisperer?
Some people say that I'm a horse whisperer, and one horse would you like me to talk about? Apache?
I'd love to hear.
Apache came to the Armidale Showground about 2 years ago. She is a buckskin mare. Apparently she's a quarter horse. And she came on the back of a cattle truck, and Northwest Horse Rescue sent her. They couldn't handle her, and where she was, the people couldn't handle her. And anyway, she came with another horse, and I just felt so sorry for her. And then Northwest Horse Rescue found someone, a lovely person, who would care for the other horse, and the other horse went to Queensland. But Apache was left by herself in a yard, and she was... no one had broken her spirit, but people had scared her a lot. And if she saw a hand, she was extremely, extremely frightened. And yet I was able to be close enough to her. It was winter time, actually the first day I spent with her, sleeted and snowed. And I just spent nearly the whole day in the yard with her. And I bought myself a hat. And I think in the saddlery shop, I had bought a book about fearless training for horses, and I was sitting reading the book, Fearless Training, and Apache came up and picked the hat and took the hat off my head. And every second weekend, because I was caring for my elderly mother, I didn't have to care for my mother every second weekend, and I spent time with Apache, and I could feel the warmth of her breath on my cheek. Armidale is quite a cold place, and we have, well, not nearly as cold as places in America, but we have temperatures of, you know, -5 quite often in winter, and frost, and and it can be cold. And I just felt, I really felt a lot of empathy towards Apache. She was quite young, probably about a year and a half old, and I just didn't want her to have to leave the showground on a cattle truck. And anyway, I, after 5 weeks of just being in the yard with Apache, just really talking with her, she suddenly began to trust me, and it's really amazing. She's not broken in yet, but I can sit on her, and my arm holds a rail, and I have put a saddle on her, and she's been absolutely fine. And one day, when the farrier came to trim the horse's feet, I had a saddle on Apache, and then I was chatting to the farrier, and then I looked across, and the saddle had slipped underneath Apache's tummy, and Apache was completely fine. And sometimes various people visit the showground, and an autistic boy was coming for his second visit to the showground, and I noticed that the supermarket had some big stuffed toys on special. They're probably about a meter tall each, and one was a dinosaur, one was a dog, and I can't remember what the other one was, and I thought the boy would enjoy to see the stuffed toys sitting on Apache. And so I put the three toys on Apache, and she was completely fine. And the traditional way, sometimes some people will just lasso a horse, and they will just, it's called choking them down, and they will just literally choke them down to the ground. And I think sometimes then a horse just gives up.
Breaking their spirit, isn't it? I just wanted to jump in for a second about that, if you don't mind. My father used to take me to the horse track quite a bit in Boston when I was a child. He would go there quite often. And I remember one time I saw a horse just fall, and it must have broken its legs or whatever when they were racing. And I thought, you know, I asked my father, what's going to happen to that horse? And he said, well, they'll probably put it down because it's no good anymore, because it can't race anymore. And I was thinking, oh, that's terrible. And I remember them taking it away on a bed, on a, you know, taking it off. And I thought how terrible that was. And I wonder how many people realize how these horses, these race horses are treated and how they're trained and everything. Because I know for a lot of animal rights activists, or I like to say animal rights advocates, they say that, and I sort of agree with this, animals are not meant for human entertainment. But I think that maybe with horses, I've often debated this in my mind with some people, that maybe horses enjoy when they're familiar with their riders, that they don't mind having that kind of contact with human beings, and they don't mind having people riding on them, because it's sort of a relationship, and maybe it's a mutual relationship like we have with dogs. And so I guess it's more intuitive, but I don't know, maybe these are my values, my beliefs, and I don't know that they're correct or not, but that's just my feeling and an opinion that I wanted to put out there on that. I'm not sure what you have to say about that, Anna.
I feel I have similar feelings, because I wonder what it's like for a horse to have a person, you know, a heavy person sitting on their back, and quite often a lump of metal in their mouth. But then I observe some horses that are being ridden, and some horses look quite relaxed when they're being ridden. But maybe horses really haven't had the choice, because when horses are being trained to be ridden, if a horse doesn't comply, well, then a horse can end up being sent to a sow yard and being turned into dog food. And another thing I noticed, because I've observed the horses a lot, and when I observe the horses often are just chilling out, walking around, and sometimes they gallop around, but a lot of the time, the horses that I work with, when they're in the paddock, they're just walking around. And then when I notice people riding horses, people are making the horses trot and making the horses canter and making the horses more active than what I observe when I see the horses in the paddock.
So it's not about, I think it's that we shouldn't be forcing ourselves on the horses. And I don't think I'm being too idealistic or gentle here. It's like we have our two dogs here with us now, Ashtar and Summer, and they enjoy our attention just like Lana's cats enjoy our attention. And there's a mutually beneficial relationship, and it's not intrusive, and it's very kind and loving relationship. And I think that's how we need to be with all creatures, even other kinds of wildlife. We can't be intrusive on their space and everything. We have to know when, even with a dog, you don't walk up to a dog and just start putting your hands all over it, because it might not like that. Just like a human being, if I were to walk up to some stranger on the street, some woman, and say, "Oh, you're so pretty, can I touch you and pat you?" That's invading their personal space. And animals are no different that way. And it's probably true with horses as well. There has to be a sort of a warming up and a relationship with the horse, I think. And I remember your horses when we were up there. I met Prince, who I really liked, and Chili, and they were very playful with the balls and everything, and trotting around and wanting to play with us, I think. And we had Lana's children here, so it was a very fun family time. We enjoyed it.
You know? It was amazing seeing all their personalities, and I had a sense, with so many horses around, there was a real community, and each one seemed to have an individual personality. They were like, you know, non-human beings. So that was amazing.
Yeah, non-human beings. Yeah. That's right.
I must say that there's two topics I also wanted to discuss. One was the fact that you have used your remedial massage skills in healing horses, haven't
Energy
you?
Energy healing, yeah.
Energy healing.
Should we take a break before we go into that?
Okay, why don't we?
We're going to go to break now. Hello, welcome back to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
And Dr. Lana Love. And today we're talking about rescuing horses and looking after horses. And with us is our friend Anna Cunningham from Armidale, who looks after about 25 horses. Anna.
Welcome, Anna. Welcome back, I mean.
Oh, hi. Hi.
So, Anna, we were keen to hear a little bit more about how you use your energy and remedial massage and healing on horses.
Well, I find just naturally, I just, you know, pat the horse, and then I've found that some of the horses have had very tight muscles. Muscles along their back and their rump, and so I started to massage the horses almost as though they were people, and also work into the trigger points, and the horses seem to really relax and seem to really really enjoy their massage. And there's actually one horse, he was an ex harness horse, and an Aboriginal girl, an Indigenous girl, a teenager, came over during the summer holidays, and she spent a lot of time just sitting up on some rails next to this horse, and she actually began to rub his back. And now this horse absolutely loves having his back massaged, and he has quite tight back muscles, and so when anyone is in the paddock, he positions himself so he can have a massage. And I've also done some chakra healing work with horses. Because I did some chakra healing work with people, and once one of my remedial massage clients went for a massage with somebody else, and then said she needed a massage because she wasn't feeling quite right. And I gave her a massage, and she still wasn't feeling 100%, but quite her normal self. And then I just worked her chakras, and immediately she said, "I feel fine. I'm right." And anyway, one day, one of the horses, another horse had suggested where the rescue horses are. He had an abscess on his foot, and I just went down just to see him, and then I just cleared his chakras, and immediately he started eating, and his abscess just immediately got better, and he seemed so much better. I thought his owner must have called the vet, but she hadn't, because he immediately got better. And and caring for one horse, and she was a walking skeleton, and she's still quite thin. And one day she couldn't stand up, and I just thought that I was going to have to call the vet. And I actually gave her some healing. I had my hands on her and some healing, and then I actually got up to call the vet, and she made a massive effort, and then she was able to stand up. And I've done quite a lot of healing on this horse, and gradually she's putting on weight. And there's another horse, Bella, and she's a chestnut mare with a lovely white blaze, or a dropped star, as an Indigenous Australian would say. And she came to the Armidale Showground. She was bought by Northwest Equine Rescue from a place called Last Chance for Horses in Queensland, that's associated with the Caboolture Abattoir. And some women go through the horses that are sent to the abattoir, and once they think they may be able to rehome, they take them, and then they, I think it's run by Facebook, and then they display the horses. And anyway, Bella came, and she was very thin, and now she's very fat and bulky. She's a really big, bulky horse. She's a registered Australian stock horse, and she's only 4 years old. But I think Bella's issue is that she can get very anxious very easily, and at first, when she gets anxious, people would describe her traditionally as quite pushy, because she may want to move forward. And one time I asked her to walk, and she struck out with her front foot just once. But I have given her massage, and I have worked with her chakras, and she's a much, much calmer horse. And to my joy, the other day I saw her lie down in the paddock and have a rest, because the horses, quite often they lie down and they have a rest in the paddock.
Wow, Anna, hold on for a second. I just want to jump in there. That's really interesting, because I realize that these horses, they all have different personalities, and we saw these personalities. And another thing that was interesting that you just mentioned was that they have their traumas. And I noticed this about the horses when we were up there with you in Armidale visiting, these that you mentioned anxiety in Bella and sort of oppositional attitude and whatnot. But this is all based on their training experiences and the way they were treated. And just like in human beings and in dogs, they're just like humans in that sense, that their behaviors correspond to their experiences, and they act that out. And it's interesting that your energetic healing that you use with your massage, almost like Reiki on the horses, there's evidence to show from what you're telling us that they respond to the massage, and they respond well to your energy healing, and they seem to improve. Their condition improves, and their anxiety seems to go down, and they get much calmer, and everything. That's really amazing, because we have so many people on our show that do energy healing, like Susan Glenn and many others. And so,
I'm not sure that I've actually heard anyone doing energy healing on animals. I mean, have you? I mean, are you a world first? It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And so everything you're telling us is really interesting and really exciting to hear. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Sometimes my connection with a horse, sometimes if a horse is in quite a stressful situation, and then I appear, and then the horse feels calm, I think that helps the connection that the horse has with me. Because another little rescue horse is Jasper, and he's a really cute little black Shetland pony, and he'd been a stallion for 8 years, and the people that had him didn't want him anymore. And there's another little horse as well, Treasure, and they called out Northwest Equine Rescue, and they said, if you don't collect these horses today, we'll shoot them. And time with Jasper before he was gelded, and during his gelding, and 15 minutes after his gelding, he was eating grass. And if I hadn't seen him gelded, I wouldn't have realized that he was gelded, because I've seen other horses that have been gelded and they've looked so sorry for themselves afterwards. But the vet was really fantastic. But I think because I bonded with Jasper, because I was there when he was very stressed. And Jasper is the most marvelous horse with children, because quite a few children turn up at the up at the showground, and they absolutely love Jasper. And because Jasper's quite small, they don't feel intimidated by Jasper. And Jasper's had five kids around him patting him. And
That's amazing, actually. That's something that we wanted to
touch on
when you mentioned autism and using animals, including horses, for emotional support. Mm. I think there's a lot of evidence around now that autistic children very often, for some reason, respond to horses.
Yeah, just like our dogs. I mean, we have Ashtar is actually a home, an emotional support dog and certified facility dog. So I guess horses can do that too. In the United States, we have miniature horses that are assistance animals for people. So horses as well.
I read an article about some miniature horses in the United States, I think maybe somewhere in California, and they're actually taken into the children's hospital to visit the children, which seems really, really wonderful. And I also noticed that when people come to visit the horses, often a person will really connect with a particular horse, and there'll be quite a resonance between the horse and the person. And I think sometimes I've read where some of the horse therapy programs, a person is allocated a horse, but the horse and the person aren't necessarily allowed to connect with each other. And I feel that the horses can provide support for people that are going through a really hard time in life. Even for me, when I was caring for my elderly mother, it was quite hard, and I'm an optimistic type of person, but my mother always thinks the worst. So, and because I'm sensitive to people's energy, you know, I was around sort of sometimes a negative energy, and my mother, because she had Alzheimer's, she couldn't remember that she'd asked a question, so I constantly had to repeat myself.
That's
terrible,
But anyway, that's when I had Prince of the Park, the racehorse, and so he really helped me, and maybe his energy as a racehorse, he really helped me. And
yeah, I remember.
I mentioned Bella. Bella was very thin, but Bella's now fat. Well, a girl came to the race course, a teenager, and she's been bullied at school to the extent that she couldn't go to school, and you know, life was quite hard for her, and she helped me clean out stables, and one day she seemed like a little bit down, and then at the end of the day she said she'd been feeling a bit down, but she had been crying and hugging Bella in the stall. And then this girl met a boyfriend, so I didn't see her for a while, and then she came back and she had this small dog and a small pup, a type of a chihuahua, a fox terrier, and she was just absolutely thrilled, and she absolutely loved the pup, and then and the pup sort of fitted almost down her blouse anyway. And the next week later she came back and she was absolutely devastated because the pup had been stolen, and she didn't know where the pup was, and she said she hadn't eaten for 3 days and she could hardly sleep. And she was telling me this, and we were feeding the horses, and because Bella has been so thin, she loves the food, and we put the food into her stable, but Bella didn't even touch her food. She just was leaning over the stable door, and she was nuzzling Kayla, and she sort of had my observation, she always had a concerned look on her face, and I just thought it was really interesting to see an animal seemingly being compassionate to a person who was in distress.
And so, Lana, that's great. That's a great connection that was made between a horse and a...
And it's interesting that the opposite can, you know, that people can heal... People can hurt animals, people can heal animals, and animals can heal us. Mm. You know, that reminds me of an amazing article that I think went viral on Facebook about this Indian girl who was going to be beaten, I think, to death by her brothers. It was an honor killing because she had run off with another man that the family hadn't approved of, and they were beating her, and this cow, obviously the family's cow, started attacking the two men to protect the girl. And I mean, that shows an amazing amount of empathy and intelligence and courage.
Yeah, it's interesting that animals show compassion to human beings, and we see that quite a bit on YouTube and on posts on Facebook. Susan Glenn actually puts a lot of those up, and how they interact with people, and how even animals interact with each other. Even predator animals sometimes will show compassion to other injured or sick animals that they would feed on. So it's interesting. But we were talking about emotional support animals, and yeah, I think you had something to say about that, Lana, as a doctor and mental health therapist.
Well, I mean, it's something that we haven't really used that much of, but I think it's an area that can really, really grow the people. It's something that's used a lot in America, but it's not used enough in Australia, the whole concept of emotional support animals. And we have a few hospitals here. I think my mother has dementia in a nursing home, and I think they at one stage had a program where they had therapeutic dogs coming in, but it was limited.
Yeah.
But I've certainly seen old people's eyes light up when there's an animal brought in to visit them. And I think also with patients, individual patients, you know, we treat patients with therapy and with medications. But for a lot of my patients who are anxious or lonely at home, having a therapeutic animal at home that they could also take outside, like if they have claustrophobia or if they're afraid of if they have post-traumatic stress disorder and they're afraid to leave and go outside, an animal would be a wonderful companion.
And it often alleviates depression and anxiety. And we brought Ashtar in summer into your mom's nursing home, and she seems to light up when summer's there. And
absolutely.
Ashtar, certainly everyone loves Ashtar. Many of your the people in your practice seem to love Ashtar and light up when they see him.
He's a white Swiss shepherd.
Right. And summer's a spoodle.
Yes,
which is
that's
a,
right.
A little, and that's a poodle and
A cocker spaniel.
Yeah, she's very cute. So they're both very beautiful dogs, and they're both very friendly.
I've noticed actually there's something about people and animals. If we go to the dog park and we, take our dogs for a walk and other people with their dogs, it's quite amazing. When you see a person with their animal, there's something about your ability to interact with that other person almost on a chakra level. It's almost like they're ability to be intimate and loving is open to another person, and you can very easily bond.
It's nonverbal communication, but it's even deeper than that on an energetic level. And interestingly, I know most people can't have emotional support horses in their homes or even on their land or their property. But I do remember I worked in Florida. I was working with assistance dogs, but I remember there was also a program for autistic children working with horses at a place that did that, and actually my spiritualist pastor was volunteering in that. So it's just there's ways of doing this, and I think it's just very good for people to interact with animals, and I think it's good for the animals too. They seem to enjoy it.
So I'm wondering, Anna, where would you like to go in the future with this? Whether, obviously people might be able to perhaps contribute to Northwest Equine Rescue, and you might want to give the website for that. And also I'm wondering whether, you would be looking into the possibility of horses visiting schools or, growing this.
Expanding what you're doing, yeah, because
yes.
I know you don't even have stables for your horses at this point. You're paying out of pocket and you're doing everything yourself, which is very
amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I am so grateful that I had the opportunity to grow up with horses that most of the horses that I have adopted from Northwest Equine Rescue, I have adopted them with the intention that in the future, people that can't afford to have their own horse, or people that are going through a hard time in some way, or autistic kids, will be able to interact with my horses, even just patting and grooming, because there's a local group in Armidale, and they care for less able people, and one of their clients absolutely loves horses, and so for the last the, so one of her one of the bosses brought her to the showground just to meet me and see the horses, and she just so loved the horses that then the boss brought her back the next day and for a couple of days, and she helped me clean and she helped me with the horses, and she regularly comes with the horses, and she buys little clips with flowers and puts them in their mane, and the horses absolutely love her. And interestingly, she wants to learn to read, and she's been practicing writing, and it's absolutely amazing. And she was learning to count, and we were learning with horse pieces of horse equipment, and then we showed her boss some pictures of, I had to move some of the horses from the showground because there was an event, and she said, oh, there's 5 horses here, and I was absolutely amazed that she could look at the photo and instantly count the number of horses. So I would like to work with a variety of people and for horses, and I have been in touch with a home for older people, and with the possibility of bringing Jasper to meet the residents and the people. Yes, they said that would be fine to bring Jasper. And then I actually met a journalist in the laundromat, and she was interested about the rescue horses, and I mentioned Jasper, and she said, when you take Jasper to a nursing home, please call us and we'll come and write an article about Jasper.
Oh, fantastic. Talk about synchronicity.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That, what a wonderful idea. And you're bringing so much love to these animals, and then now there's the possibility of it expanding to, you're already helping people through that. It's beautiful, absolutely gorgeous.
I guess it'd be fantastic if you could have some volunteers or, you know, to help build stables and care for them. I'm not sure that you don't have a regular place for these horses. I think you have them in 3 different locations that you rent. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. I have some horses on my mother's property, which is owned by her estate, and I'm hoping to buy that property, and then it is my dream to build stables for the horses so they can be really warm in winter, and also to have solar panels on the roof and have heating for them, yes, that's my plan, but I probably would keep some horses at the showground so that, because the showground's very close to an Indigenous area, and there are kids that absolutely love the horses, and they come over after school, and actually, we had a long weekend in Australia a few weeks ago, and a little girl who'd spent the summer and the end of last year nearly every day with the horses, she went to live somewhere else, and she came back, and she saw the horses, and then I bumped into one of the other girl's fathers when I was shopping, and he told me that the little girl, her father, died a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it was just so nice that, you know, she can come and see the horse, and when they came the other day, they said to me, Anna, do you mind if we fake own a horse with you? And each little girl really loves one particular horse, and the little Aboriginal girls, 2 of them, they rode without their helmets, and the police gave them a warning, and so the parents grounded the girls from coming to the showground. And one little girl hadn't been to the showground for 10 days, and Mesk is a really thin horse, but this little girl really loves Mesk. And when Mesk saw the little girl, she let out a whinny, and the little girl went over and threw her arms around Mesk's neck.
Cute. That is
beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, I think I just want to say that people who are interested in rescue horses, and because I think there's a way to do everything, and it just takes an interest and effort and, you know, some compassion and passion. And so if anyone's interested in contributing to what you're doing, they can certainly contact us, and we can put them in touch with you, and we can try to help organize something. We can be contacted. Email that I'm using at this point is universalsoullove3@gmail.com. That's one way. I'm certainly on, Lana and I are both on Facebook. That's another way that we can be contacted. We use Facebook quite a bit as our platform to communicate. So,
and we certainly in the future, because you know, we'll be living and working part-time in Armidale, we look forward to connecting with you more, Anna. And I know my children absolutely loved seeing the horses.
Yeah, they certainly did. That was a lot of fun. It was a very family bonding time. And I know your oldest daughter is very interested in starting an animal rescue. And so we're working in New South Wales for many reasons, but also working on building self-sustainable living communities in that area. So that's how we met you, and very pleased to have met you, and we'd be very grateful if anyone was interested in contributing to what you're doing and helping out, since you're just one person doing so much work, and we're so
just amazing work that you're doing. A real healing center that you
absolutely
have established.
It is healing. It's just total healing. There's nothing but goodness coming out of what you're doing, and I'm just very grateful to you for doing
that. So inspiring.
So we can, I think we can wrap up here. Okay. Anything else you want to say, Anna, before we go?
Just, it was so lovely to meet both of you and to meet the wonderful girls, and I was just so impressed that they care so much for animals. And thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to speak on this radio program. I'm very, very grateful.
Yeah, great show.
Wonderful
show, and enjoyed having you as our special guest, and looking forward to connecting with you again in the future, Anna.
So thank you very much for telling us all about that.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I so look forward to connecting with you in the future as well.
Wonderful.
Okay.
And goodbye to all our guests.
We'll see you next time on Universal Soul Love. We've got some great guests coming up. We've got HeartMath potentially scheduled. We've got the vice president of a worldwide motorcycle club. And we have, I think we have another expert in the flat earth theory that I'm interested in. And I think there's quite a few others. I think we're supposed to be having Michelle. Anyhow, we have quite a few number of guests coming up. So I'm really looking forward to the future. And so thank you for being with us, and we'll see you next time on Universal Soul Love.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.